Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga Chaf Aleph. We are starting the third and final parak of the Masechta. We are on the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Beis. Mishnah over here is going to continue the discussion of Tumat Tahara. Once again, this is Moed. This is Karbanos. This is Yantav. But nevertheless, as we already were introduced to just a couple of days ago, Masechta turns its attention to Halachas of Tumat Tahara. This could belong in Seder Taharas, but it's here. And as Rashi pointed out, when the sugya started back on Yud Ches Amud Beis, the reason why it's here is because on Yantiv, so there are going to be some change of, well, not change of halacha, but there are leniencies that are going to be afforded on Yantiv vis-a-vis Tumat Tahara. And so for that reason, so the Gemara and the Mishnayos themselves are going to be talking about Tumat Tahara. Truth of the matter is, it's not a perfect justification in that we could just focus on the halachas that apply to Yantiv. And meanwhile, over here, we're going to go over some of the more basic halachas on Tumat Tahara. Okay, so it is an explanation, but it's not a full explanation, regardless. So here we are now in the third parak of the Masechta, and we're going to be dealing with some very basic halachas regarding Tumat Tahara. Now, I say basic halachas. So if you don't have familiarity, if you haven't gone through this before, so some of it's not basic, some of it's more than just basic, meaning not only are we going to be going over Tumat Tahara Daraisa, we're also going to be going over Tumat Tahara of Derabbanan as well. So all that to be discovered, we start with the Mishnah. Mishnah here is going to outline 11 differences between Tumat Tahara as it applies to Truma versus as it applies to Kodesh. We already saw just a couple days ago, so just to help us organize and think this clearly, in terms of the hierarchies of Kodesh, the more Kedusha that it has, so the more sensitive and susceptible it is to Tumah. That's a generalization, but it is definitely a good way to think about it. Meaning, we already discussed that basically you're going up the levels of Kedusha. You start with Chulin that has no Kedusha. Chulin by its very name means that it is devoid of Kedusha. Then from there you go up to Meister Sheni. Then from there you go up to Truma, then up to Kodesh, and then up to Mechatas. We're not going to be discussing Mechatas over here. Mechatas is dealing with the solution of the Efer Apar together with the Maim Chaim. That's not going to be our discussion. And really, we're going to be primarily focusing on Truma versus Kodesh. Okay. Now, as we're going to see together in the Mishnah, one of the most basic distinctions that we can make regarding Truma and Kodesh as it relates to Tumat Tahara is to what degree does it become Tamei? Truma can go up to a shlishi, but that's it. It cannot go past a shlishi. So that means that if an av touches a food, let's say it's truma. So that truma now is the rishon. That food touches another food. That food is the sheni, and that food touches another food. That food is the shlishi, but that's it. When it comes to kodesh, however, when it comes to karban, so we could do that where the av touches the first kodesh, it's a rishon, and it goes all the way up to a revi. So it goes one degree more of kedusha, one step further than that of truma. That's a really basic distinction between that. Ostensibly, that's a din daraisa. Okay, I'm going to get a little bit confused. We're all going to get a little bit confused because it's in our Mishnah. That distinction that I just laid out is one of the 11 differences that are mentioned in our Mishnah. The problem is that the assumption is the Mishnah is talking about chumra derabbanan, so rabbinic stringencies, and not dini daraisa. If what I just told you is shlishi versus revi is a din daraisa, so then it's a little bit strange that's found in our Mishnah. This is a question that's not an original question. Already Tosos is bothered by this question. Anyway, but let's see our mission together. Chomer b'kosh bin b'truma. So there's going to be more stringencies by kosh than there are going to be by truma. How many more stringencies? So we're going to be learning together in our Mishnah 11 differences. Now, I say 11. In the Gemara, you're going to see that some are of the opinion that it's 10. So we get to one of those classic discussions that we have numerous times, and that is accounting and how to count all the cases in our Mishnah. But a simple counting of the Mishnah, which I did already, is going to yield 11 differences between Kodesh and Truma. Okay, so I'm going to right now work with the number 11, and later this morning you'll see how it's possible maybe to consolidate from 11 down to 10. So number one, Shemad Bilan Kelim Besoch Kelim LeChuma Vala LeKodesh. Let's say you're being matpel, you're toveling in a mikvah, and you put one kli inside of another kli, and you tovel it in the mikvah. So the Mishnah says that if you're going to do that for Truma, meaning if the purpose is that these Kelim are going to be used for Truma, that's fine. But if, on the other hand, we're going to be using it for Kodesh, for Karbanos, so then that's unacceptable. So what is that telling me? First of all, it's what it's telling me is that the Tefillah is obviously a good Tefillah. If it weren't good Tefillah, I certainly would be able to use it for for Truma. So the tefillah has to be a good tefillah. What's the concern? Well, stay tuned. Meaning the Gemara is going to be disgusting. But for reasons that we're not yet going to explain, so when I'm toveling a kli b'soch kli, one kli went inside another kli, and I put the two of them in the mikvah, so it's a good tefillah. But again, as a mala, as a chumrah when it comes to kodesh, that's unacceptable. Next, two. So let's say we're looking at the back of a kli cheres. So the back of a kli cheres. I'm not convinced right now. Sorry, I'm not convinced that this case has to be talking about a kli cheres. Okay, regardless. So, but let's say that this one particular kli has multiple functions to it, right? The Swiss Army knife of Kalim, if you will. The back of it, and the interior, and the handle, they all have different usages of it. So when it comes to Truma, so what I could do now is I could basically segregate the different parts of the kli. If one part of the kli is tame, so then I could use another part of the kli. Now here we have to be talking about Tumah Darabanan, and we cannot be talking about a Tumah Daraisa. How do I know that I can't be talking about a Tumah Daraisa? Because by Tumah Daraisa, so remember how I said just a couple days ago that when it comes to a person, so it's all or nothing. Either your choices are, is that either your Tameh or your Tahor. That's it. In other words, all of you or none of you. And the idea that you're Daim or Tameh, so that's a Din Darabanan. So over here, when it comes to Kalim, same situation. Meaning that if we're talking about a Tumah Daraisa, it's all or nothing. Either the entire Kli is Tameh or none of the Kli is Tameh. So this idea that we're able to segment the kalim into its different parts based on its various usages, and for truma, if one part becomes tummy, I could use the other part of the kli. Which it's funny just thinking about it. It sounds risky, but nevertheless, it's a tumah derabanan. So for truma, the chachamim gave such a heter, but when it comes to kodesh, no heter. Meaning by kodesh, if one part of the kli becomes tummy, so then the entire kli has to become has to go to the mikvah. To make any usage of it for kodesh. Number three, I know seis a medrash, no seis a truma, v'lo seis a kodesh. So let's say you were no seis a medrash. Medrash is anything that a a tummy person who is tumas yotze migufo is going to either sit down on or lie down on. So tumas medrash, which we've discussed already numerous times. So the following occurs when I have, let's say for example, azav, azava, anida, or yoledes, right? The tumas yotze migufo. And they were and they experienced the tumah, and they sat on an item that was meant to be sat on. So the item now becomes tameh, and as we've said already repeatedly throughout Shas, and that tumah is the same degree, same level of tumah as the person themselves. The person's an avatumah, the chair now is an avatumah as well. That item now is going to be called a medras. Now, if I go ahead and pick up the medras, so I'm now tameh. But in other words, if I pick up the medras, I become tameh in the standard way in which tumah is transmitted, i.e., I'm a Rishon. I'm not an Av. The only time that the transfer, not the only time, but one of the few times where the transfer is going to remain on the same level is when the Zav or Zavani, the Yoledes themselves, are sitting on the item. But if I go ahead, I'm just touching the item that was sat on or picking it up. So under those circumstances, so now I am a Rishon. So now I'm a Rishon. So now, So I know since I'm just no say such truma avalo es a kodesh. So now what I could do is that I can pick up truma avalo es a kodesh, but I can't pick up kodesh. Okay, so now as far as picking up the truma, so the actual truma itself, of course not. Meaning it can be. Meaning because if we're talking about the actual truma itself, if I'm a Rishon, so you know what the truma is? Truma's a sheni. If I'm picking up kodesh, you know what the kodesh is? Kodesh is a sheni. So we're not talking about the actual truma itself, or actually the actual kodesh itself can't be. Rash, huh? I'm not following. Right, I'm saying, but if I understand, but if I picked up the medras, I'm a Rishon. So when I'm touching the truma now, picking it up, whatever, so then that it is a sheni. So it can't be we're talking about the truma itself. We're not. Rashi says that we're talking about the kli. Rashi knows it's a truma. Bechavis she'eino nogea ba'avira. So, right, chavis shacheres, right, adds the bach. In other words, we're talking about where I'm picking up a chavis, a barrel. And what I'm not doing is I'm not putting my hand in the interior. Ah, that makes a lot more sense. So in other words, so now, even though I'm a Rishon, when I pick up a Chavis, and I'm not touching the Chavis, so now, did I transfer my Tumah? The answer is no, I did not. Okay, so, if the contents of the Chavis is Truma, perfect, no problem. If the contents of the Chavis is Kodesh, okay, so now it's a Chumra de Rabbanan, so now the Kodesh is going to become, let's say Tummy, right? I'm going back and forth whether it's Tummy or whether it's Pasul, but okay, let's just simply say Tummy. Okay, so that's another Chumra. Number four, Big Day Ochle Truma Mejus the Kodesh, Big Day Ochle Truma Mejus the Kodesh. The clothing of Ochle Truma are going to be considered Medrus for Kodesh, which is an idea that we already saw back in the previous parak, and that is that because my clothing was only designed and toveled for Truma, so therefore it cannot be used for Kodesh, because again, you need Kavana in order to use any of my Kalim for the for Kodesh. It has to have Kavana. It has to be toveled specifically for the Kavana of Kodesh. If I only had Kavana for Truma, that's it. It's kept a Truma. Okay. So those are the first four distinctions between Truma and Kodesh, where in all four of them, in every one of these 11. So the Kodesh is going to have an elevated status, and therefore it's going to have a Chumra that over Truma. Next, the Loka Midas Kodesh Midas Truma. So they don't have the same rules. Shebe Kodesh Matir Menagav Matbil V'Acharkach Kosher. When I am taking something and toveling it for Kodesh, so what must I do? So let's say it has knots in it, I have to untie it, and I have to dry it, and I have to tovel it, and then achar kach kosher, and then I have to tie it up again. However, when it comes to Truma, kosher v'achar kach matil, v'achar kach matil, it could have knots in it, and that's fine, and I could tovel it. Now, over here, I'll just give away a little bit of the discussion that we're going to have in the Gemara. So what's the issue regarding knots? The issue regarding knots, of course, is a concern of chatzitza. However, here's what we're going to have to say over here. These knots that we're describing over here are not an actual chatzitza. And I know that because if it were an actual chatzitza, so it doesn't matter what we're talking about, whether we're talking about Truma, whether we're talking about Kodesh. If there was an actual chatzitza that we're describing, so then the tefillah wouldn't work, period. Meaning chatzitza will disqualify the tefillah. So what we have to be talking about over here is where there's only a cheshash of a chatzitza, and it has to be somewhat more remote. So that therefore, if I'm doing it for Truma, okay, so for that we're not going to be concerned. But if I'm doing it for Kodesh, so there is going to be concern. That was number five. Number six, Kelam Anigmar Batar Tzrichim Tzvila Kodesh of a little Truma. So let's say we made a kli. We manufactured a kli, and we did so in a state of Tahara, meaning that before the kli was finished, it doesn't matter whether you're Tumah or Tahor, because a kli where it is an unfinished product is simply not yet susceptible to Tumah. We know that. But here's what we're learning together. So let's say now the manufacturer does the finishing touch, puts the final blow in the kli, making it now a kli. So now for the first time, it's going to be susceptible to becoming Tumah. If let's say the manufacturer at that point in time made sure that he was Tahor, everything around him was Tahor, and so now he can say confidently that I manufactured the kli, finished the kli in the state of Tahara, so under those circumstances, now the kli is actually Tahor. Good. The kli is Tahor. So you want to now use it for Truma? Go for it. You now want to use it for Kodesh? You need to tovel it. Okay, good. Another Chumra. Number seven. Kli mitzarif mashav esochel kosher v'lo l'truma. Let's say you have various particles of food, dry foods, and it's, jelly beans, if you will. Not a great example, but you understand. In other words, so they are units of food, independent units of food. And now what happens is that a tumma comes into contact with one of the pieces, one of the particles. So under those circumstances, so what is the halacha? The halacha actually is very straightforward. And that is that piece that it comes into contact with is tameh, and then the piece next to it becomes tameh, but only because of the negia, because of the direct contact. So in other words, the piece that you touch, let's say you touch it with a sheretz. So the piece that you touch is a rishon. The piece next to it is a sheni. If we're talking about truma, the piece next to it is a shlishi, and that's it. In other words, and no more transmission. It doesn't spread any more than that, because with every contact, it goes down a level. And by truma, it only goes up to a shlishi, no more than a shlishi. Okay, and by kodesh, it goes to a revi. Okay, so the next one over that it touches is going to become a tummy, but that's it. What we're learning together now is that if all these foods were in one kli, the kli unifies. So that means to say now that when I have tuma touching the food that's in a kli, so because of the unification of the kli, so now everything there is going to be tame. It's going to be considered as its one entity. But that's only vis-a-vis kodesh. That's not going to be true vis-a-vis truma. By truma, we don't have this idea of kli being mitzarif. By kodesh, we do. That's another chumra. Number eight. Harivi b'kodesh pasul v'ashlishi b'truma. So when it comes to kodesh, it goes up to a revi. When it comes to truma, it goes up to a shlishi. Now, this is a really basic rule. And what's this doing in the Mishnah over here? So it is confusing. Let's just say it. It's confusing. Why? Because the Mishnah here is talking about chumras and malos midrabanan and stringencies imposed by the chachamim of kodesh over that of truma. Over here, this standard rule, this basic rule, that kodesh goes up to revi and truma goes up to shlishi, ostensibly, that's a din d'oraisa. Now, what I just said is controversial, but ostensibly, Tosus discusses it. Tosus discusses it on the Amud Beis of today's daf. Okay, so, but it is a curiosity slash not totally clear to me why it is that this is in the Mishnah over here. Nevertheless, we're calling that number eight. Number nine. Uvichurma nin me zachas miyadav chaverta Torah. Okay, number nine teaches us the following. Let's say one hand becomes tummy. Once again, we're obviously talking about a din de rabbanan. We're talking about yadayim. So if one hand becomes tummy, in other words, there are numerous ways in which a hand can become a shnios, yadayim, which are shnios. So if one hand becomes tummy, so now I want to go ahead and be notel. Do I have to be notel both of my hands, or can I just be notel the hand that became tummy? So once again, it depends on whether you're dealing with truma or with kodesh. If you're dealing with truma, so then the hand is isolated. So that means to say that you only have to be notel the one hand that became tame. If you're dealing with kodesh, so now if one hand becomes tame, so for kodesh, we view it as if both hands become tame, and therefore what you have to do is you have to be notel shtei yadayim. Ochlin neguvim v'yadayim esu abas v'chuma v'la b'kodesh. Let's say the food never became mochshar. Right? Neguvi means dry, but as Rashi points out over here, dry means it was always dry. Right? It never came into contact with a liquid. So now foods that never came into contact with a liquid is eino mukhshar lakabel tuma, and that means at this point in time, it is totally impervious to any tuma. Tuma could be touching it at any point in time. It doesn't matter. Food needs hekshar in order to become tame. So now this dry food, again, dry meaning it was always dry. So this dry food now, so it comes into contact with tuma, it's fine. It's perfectly fine. You want to use it vis-a-vis truma? No problem whatsoever. You want to use it for kodesh? No, you cannot. Right? Avalo b'kodesh. So once again, it's a mala. It's a chumra by kodesh that, despite the fact that it never received hechsher, it's still going to be a puzzle vis-a-vis kodesh. That was number 10. And finally, number 11. We're on the top of chafalaf amad aleph ha'onin mechusar kippurim tzrichim tvila lekodesh avalo l'truma. So let's say you're an onin. As Rashi points out over here, we have to be talking about a case where you did not become tamei, meaning an onin is someone who lost one of his relatives. And so if he actually assisted with the burial, he was at the funeral, so then obviously he's tamei and there's nothing to talk about. We're talking about an onin who did not become tamei, but still he has the status of being an onin. So now, as his aninus period is now finished, and now he wants to eat shuma, may do so, sure. In other words, there's no tuma. In other words, for whatever reason, he wasn't at the funeral. He didn't assist. And so now the onin status now is over. So he can go ahead and he can eat truma. Does he have to tovel before eating the truma? No. Same thing is true regarding mechusar kippurim. Mechusar kippurim is anybody who went through the tahara process. Let's say, for example, a zava, right? Each one of them being a gadola. So what do they need to do? They need to count Shivan Akim, and they have to bring Karbonos on day number 8. Okay? When counting the Shivan Akim, they're going to be toveling on the 7th day. That's not the tefillah that we're talking about over here. They toveled on the 7th day. Now they get to day 8. Now day 8, what happens on day 8? So they have to bring Karbonos. Okay? A series of Karbonos. So, now, they went through Shivan Akim. They brought their Karbonos on day 8. So now, they are totally tahor, which is accurate. They want to eat Truma. Obviously, if they're a Kohen, perfectly fine. They want to eat Karba now, you have to Tovel again. Why? Once again, Mala. It's a Chumrah. despite the fact that they just tovled as recently as yesterday, nevertheless, after having brought the karbanos and they want to now enjoy karbanos, they have to tovel again. So for kodesh they need tefillah, both the onin and the mechusar kippurim. But for truma, you don't need to tovel. Okay. It doesn't matter if their carbons or anyone else's carbons. Meaning, just for the simple act of consuming karbanos, handling and consuming karbanos, so they have to tovel the mikvah again. That's all. Midrabanan. Okay, so what we just did is we just ran through a Mishnah that outlined 11 differences, and when we say differences, we mean chumras that we find by kodesh that we do not have by truma. The Gemara's discussion starts off with the following. Let's go all the way back to number one. The first chumra that we found by kodesh over that of truma is that by truma you could be matbil kli besoch kli. So I could take one kli, insert inside another kli, and put that into the mikvah. Okay, and it works. It works for truma, and by the way, it goes without saying, if it works for truma, it's certainly going to be working for chulin as well. Okay, and by kodesh, it doesn't work. Okay, so now the simple question, the obvious question, why doesn't it work? Well, I guess we can go in either direction with the question. Why does it work for truma? Why doesn't it work for kodesh? What's the issue over here? Why, in other words, we understand that there are malos, there are stringencies that we're going to be opposed, that we're imposing for kodesh. When I say we, the chachamim, are imposing for kodesh over that of truma, we understand that. But there has to be like some concern, meaning what is the underlying issue over here that at least allowed for an elevated concern for kodesh. So that's the Gemara's question. So we're going to have two answers to that question. Answer number one is today's daf, and answer number two is going to go into tomorrow's daf. So I'll stop with answer number one, and I know it's a short amount of daf, but answer number one really will cover the remainder of today's daf. So Amar, by kodesh my time alone. So why by kodesh no? So Amar Rabbi Ilam imnei shekvedo shel kli chotzeitz. So because of the weight of the kli. Meaning what happens is that if I take one kli and put inside another kli, so what's going to happen now is that the weight's going to obviously have the two of them touching one another. Now what happens is that when I put that in the water, and if the contact still remains, so then obviously now we're looking at a chatzitza. Now, I say we're looking at a chatzitza, well, yes and no. Meaning, in the case of truma, we didn't seem to be concerned about chatzitza, and for kodesh now we are concerned about chatzitza. So what we're going to have to say is that the concern is really, it's a slight concern. Meaning, what happens when you tovel in the mikvah? So we can all imagine. In other words, we could see it. That when we tovel in the mikvah, so because of the water and the buoyancy, so what's going to happen is that there's going to be the degrees of separation. And it doesn't have to be that great a degree. Small degree of separation between the two, and good. And now water is going to be allowed to come into contact with all surface areas, and we should be fine. In fact, we are fine. That's why by truma we're fine. But at least now, the heightened kedusha of kodesh, and therefore heightened sensitivity, elevated status of a halacha, in which we are going to be concerned about chatzitza as it relates to kodesh. That is the Gemara's explanation vis-a-vis the first din of our Mishnah. Mimnei shekvedo shel kli chotzeitz v'amid d'seifa mishum chatzitza reisha la mishum chatzitza diktani seifa v'lo kimidas hakodesh midas hatshuma shebekodesh matir mangiv v'matbil v'achar kach kosher uv'tshuma kosher v'achar kach matbil. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the problem with this explanation, and that is, go ahead later in the Mishnah. In the fifth distinction in the Mishnah, so we talked about untying. Meaning that what we have over here is that you're tying some sort of rope, whatever, something that has string on it. And the Mishnah says that if you want to tie it for truma, if you want to tovel it for truma, so then what you have to do is, or what you could do is you could leave it untied. Or let me say it clearer. Sorry. You could leave it tied. It's fine. It's fine to leave it tied because the knots over here obviously are not that tight. And water can actually go in and it would not be a problem whatsoever. And that would be fine. However, when it comes to kodesh, so now you have to untie, you have to dry it, and then you tovel in the mikvah, and then after you tovel in the mikvah, then you can go ahead and tie it up again. Okay, now there, the issue is chatzitza. And again, we're going to have to say the same thing. It really isn't a chatzitza, meaning, obviously, because if it were a bona fide real chatzitza, then it wouldn't be good for truma. But at least there is a slight concern for chatzitza. Again, for truma, it's not enough to warrant to have to untie it, but in other words, because of the slight concern of chatzitza, so therefore for kodesh, we're going to be concerned, and therefore we're going to untie it. And so here's what the Gemara is bothered by with Rav Ila's proposal. And that is, You want to tell me that the case of Kli B'Soch Kli is a function of Chatzitza, is a concern of Chatzitza. So then you get to the fifth case of the Mishnah, and the fifth case of the Mishnah is same concern. The issue now becomes Chatzitza. And now what that does is it makes the Mishnah repetitive, meaning the Mishnah is introducing. Now here are 11 differences between Kodesh and Truma, and now two of the 11 are what? Are both predicated on the same issue, on the issue of Chatzitza. That's a little bit strange. And why wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when putting these cases together, if in fact 1 and 5 are both a function of Chatzitza, so let's consolidate. Let's just put the two together. Okay. So Reish v'Seifa Mishum Chatzitza Utzricha. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you that the first case is about Chatzitza. The fifth case of the Mishnah, the Seifa, meaning Seifa in our context. The fifth case of the Mishnah is Chatzitza. And I will also tell you that they're both necessary. So here's what we could say. We could say, look, in other words, they both are a function of Chatzitza, but because they are two different issues, not two different issues, but two different cases, I may have said Chatzitza there, but maybe not Chatzitza there. Let's start off in the case of the Kli B'Soch Kli. So over there, when I put one Kli inside of another Kli, so there I have the consideration of weight and gravity. And gravity is pushing the Kalim together. And so there, I would say that that by Kodesh, it's a real concern. However, when we're talking about the knots, is there a gravity issue over there? Is there any force pushing down on the item? The answer is no. So maybe if I only had the first case, but I didn't have the second case, I would have said the first case was a chatzitza issue, but in the second case, there's simply no chatzitza issue. So then if I had the case of the knots, but not the case of the kli b'soch kli, so here's what I would have easily argued, and that is what happens when you put the knots in the water. So what happens now is that the water is going to go into the fibers and it's going to expand. And you know what? I could see that being an issue of chatzitza. But when I'm taking Kli B'Soch Kli and I'm putting it in the mikvah, so you know what's going to happen over there? It floats. Which by the way, it does. Meaning, and we know that not just empirically, but we know that even in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that vis-a-vis Truma, it's not an issue of chatzitza. But what I would have said is that if I only had the case of the knots and not the case of Kli B'Soch Kli, I would have said that the case of chatzitza only becomes a concern, even the smallest concern, only by knots, but not by kalim. Okay. So what the Gemara now has done is defended Ravila, and that is that the first case and the fifth case are both functions of chatzitza. The Mishnah has to illustrate both examples, because if I had one example, I would not necessarily have known the other example. Gemara continues, Rabbi Eli Letame. Now, this explanation of Rabbi Eli, that Kli B'Soch Kli is a function of Chatzitza, so this is going to make Rabbi Eli consistent with his own position. What is the position of Rabbi Eli? Damar Rabbi Eli, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Esar Malo Shanu Kan. So how many cases do we have in our Mishnah? Rabbi Eli says that we have 10 cases in our Mishnah. Now, that's interesting because we went through the Mishnah together this morning, right? All of 30 minutes ago, less. So we just went through the Mishnah. And as we went through the Mishnah, I counted, I numbered it in my Mishnayos. So there are 11 cases in the Mishnah. And Rabbi Eli is insistent that there are not 11 cases in the Mishnah, there really are 10 cases in the Mishnah. How did that happen? Oh, so I'll tell you how it happened. It happened because what happened with Rabbi Eli is that since the first case and the fifth case in the Mishnah are both functions of Chatzitza, so even though they are two cases but grounded in one issue, and as a result of that, that too now becomes one. So now, how many cases are there in the Mishnah? There are now 10 cases in the Mishnah. Not 10 cases, but 10 concepts, 10 chumras, if you will, in the Mishnah, 1 and 5, being consolidated into one. Oh, so it works out now that Ravi La's explanation of the first case of the Mishnah will now coordinate with Ravi La's position that there really are 10 concepts in the Mishnah. Chamesh Rishon is being kosh. Now, even as we say 10, what we're going to do now is that we're going to take a line demarcating the first 5 and the second 5. When it comes to the first 5, so these are chumras not only for Kodesh, but chulin shenasa ataras haKodesh. Okay, so now for a second day in a row, we get to discuss chulin shenasa ataras haKodesh. So let me just reintroduce quickly. We did it yesterday. And that is that for people who want to train themselves to be able to eat Kodesh with all the milos, all the chumras that apply to Kodesh. So what they're going to do is that basically while they're in training, so any food is going to be treated like Kodesh. They accept upon themselves that their chulin is going to be done al taharos haKodesh. Now, what is going to be the status of that food? Like I said yesterday, possibly, if not probably, it works al tzdi neder, something along those lines. But anyway, what becomes the status of that food? So the status of that food is, well, if you remember, machlokus amongst the Tanaim, exactly what is the actual status of that food. Despite the fact that you're in training, but when all said and done, it's not really Kodesh. You just accepted upon yourself that it's going to be treated like Kodesh. So what is going to be the status of that food? The answer is, it was a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. So if you recall, at least for one day in the daf, so we pointed to our Mishnah, not our Mishnah, but the Mishnah back in the second parak, and the Mishnah is of the position that Chulin Shana Asar Taharos HaKodesh is Kikodesh Dami. It's going to have the status of Kodesh. Okay. Anyway, here's what we're saying in today's daf, and that is that we have now noted that there are 10 chumras by actual Kodesh. Of those 10 chumras, Ravi Lala says you're going to take our Mishnah and you're going to divide it first half, second half. The first half of those chumras that apply to Kodesh also will apply to Chulin Shana Asar Taharos HaKodesh. The second five are going to be only applicable to Kodesh, but not to Chulin Shana Asar Taharos HaKodesh. Why that distinction? Gemara goes on to explain. I'm Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. I'm sorry. I'm Rabbi Lam Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. I'm at the fourth line down. Ezra Malushanu Kan Chamesh Rishonos Bein LaKodesh Bein LaChulin Shana Asar Taharos HaKodesh Achronos. My time, and why? Chamish kamaisa dislu drara de tuma de midaraisa gazerbu rabban and bein lekodesh bein lechun shana asar taros hakodesh basraisa de leis lehu drara de tuma midaraisa gazerbu rabban lekodesh lechun shana asar taros hakodesh lo gazerbu rabbanan. The first five is what the Gemara describes as drara de tuma midaraisa, meaning the concern, as slight as it may be. But the concern of the first five, if in fact the concern were true, would yield a real tumah, a tumah mid'araisa. On the other hand, with the second five are rabbinic institutions, legislations, but they are not founded on tumah da'araisa. Meaning it's not in the second five. It's not a concern where if the concern were true, so then it would actually yield the tumah da'araisa. They're just simply institutions, rabbinic institutions that were imposed within the world of Tumah. And therefore, for the first five, where there is a legitimate, albeit slight concern of Tumah Daraisa, so therefore these impositions are not only going to be applying to Kodesh, but even Chulin Shana Asar Taharos HaKodesh. But the second five, where they are just legislative in nature and not concerns about Tumah Daraisa, so therefore, only applying to Kodesh, but not to Chulin Shana Asar Taharos HaKodesh. Okay. Good.
That's a value that Chulin Shana Asar Taharos HaKodesh, not to Kodesh.
Okay. Could be. It could very well be. Or you could just simply say that it's Kodesh, but not with all the stringencies of Kodesh. Okay, you could say. Right. You saw I was vacillating in terms of, is our Gemara going to be taking a position on the daf we did just a couple days ago. Okay, we're going to pause over here because as the Gemara goes to Rava, so what Rava is going to do is he's going to give an entirely different explanation of our Mishnah, but let's pause over here. Rava's explanation goes into tomorrow's daf, and so what we get to do is that we'll wait till tomorrow to start with the second answer or second explanation of our Mishnah. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Our daf today presented to us, we opened up the third perek of the Masechta, and we opened up with 11 differences, 11 chumras that we find by Kodesh, over that of Truma. I'm not going to go through all 11 right now. That's not review. That would just simply be repeating the daf. Okay, but there are 11 distinctions. But in terms of how to organize them, okay, so for that, so as we're going to see between today and tomorrow's daf, so there are two different ways to organize it. One way to organize it is the way of Ravi Lah, which is that even though there are 11 cases, but there really are only 10 concepts in the Mishnah. Because what Ravi Lah does is he takes the first and the fifth, and he consolidates that into two cases, but being a function of one issue, a concern of chatzitza. So that means to say that one and five really are one, and so now the 11 cases of the Mishnah really become 10. And so Ravi Lah, when he looks at our Mishnah, and looks at the, not 11 chumras, but 10. Now, it happens to be, it's really interesting because, I don't know about really, but it's interesting in that the normally, when the Mishnah is about to give a listing, the Mishnah also gives a number, right? Arba Avos Nezikin, right? And numerous other examples. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere says that, you know, they like that, meaning we just had the other day the Sofrim. Granted, that was talking about Chumash, but the idea of is that, look, this is a lot of information, and to the best of our ability, we want to organize and coordinate that information, and numbers are really helpful. This would have been a perfect time for the Mishnah to say, here are 11 differences, here are 10 differences. And yet, the Mishnah doesn't do that. The Mishnah only just gives out the cases. And it's interesting that in this particular case now, we have a machlokas, a marayim, whether it's 11 or whether it's 10. Okay, anyway, just... Good. Okay, so that's why we allowed that. Really, there really are 10 cases, and that will also affect how he understands the first case of the Mishnah, in that I toveled in the mikvah kli b'soch kli, one kli inside of another kli, and I put the two of them in the mikvah in that position. Does it work? The answer is yes. But for Kodesh, we're going to be machmir, and for Kodesh, it doesn't work, and for Kodesh, you're going to have to tovel it again. Okay, good. That's the chumrah. Why? What's the concern behind that chumrah? So we went over this morning is Ravi Law's explanation. And Ravi Law's explanation is that the concern is that when it's kli b'soch kli, so the weight of the interior kli is going to make contact with the exterior kli, the bottom of the exterior kli, and now that contact will prevent the water from coming in, otherwise known as chatzitza. And that would be the concern. Again, slight concern, because by truma it works, but by kodesh, we are actually going to entertain that slight concern. Good. That's the chumrah as explained by Ravi Law. And the last thing I'll go over is just simply that according to Ravi Law, where now there are 10 cases of the Mishnah, even though that's true, what we'll do is that we'll segregate the first five from the second five. The first five are chumras, but chumras that are based on a cheshash, or if that were cheshash were true, then we're looking at a tumah d'oraisa. On the other hand, the latter five of the Mishnah are not based on a cheshash, but just based on takanas and institutions that the chachamim did to give more primacy to that of kodesh. And so therefore, those are rabbinic institutions. And so now that we made that distinction between the first five and the second five, l'may nafkamina, what difference would that be? So chulin shenasa taras hakodesh. So the first five, since it's founded on a concern, albeit slight, but if it were true, it'd be the tumah d'oraisa. So therefore, not only would the first five apply to Kodesh, but even to Chulin Shenasu al Taras HaKodesh. The latter five do not apply to Chulin Shenasu al Taras HaKodesh. Adkan.